Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Rick Stroud, NFL Stroud on Twitter from the Tampa Bay Times. Rick, it's got to be crazy to hear us talking about this when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. Things can change in 18 months that, I tell you, I wouldn't have been more surprised if I would have woken up with my face sewn to the carpet, Rick. I mean, this is just unbelievable here. But you cover these Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you've seen Gerald McCoy. You've known Gerald McCoy. What is Gerald thinking right now? What's his number one priority at 31 years old approaching free agency here?
Well, his stated priority was he wants to win. He wants to win a ring. He wants to win a championship. He feels like he can play three or four more years. Who knows? You know, I mean, he might do one-year deals. I really don't know what all that's about. But, you know, he's gotten himself in great shape, done some things, you know, diet-wise, and his knees feel better than they have ever before. And he's motivated. You know, he's a guy that probably at this point in his career could use a change of scenery. I mean, the Bucs just never won here when he was here. Wasn't his fault. And he wants to go someplace where, you know, where the arrow is up and they're going to win and they're going to win soon. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of time left in his career. And I would think he'd look at Cleveland as a rising team. Of course, he's familiar with Baker Mayfield. He's the world's biggest Oklahoma fan. And guys have openly in Cleveland, Odell Beckham and others, lobbied, you know, for him to come there. So he doesn't know the Browns, and he's only played for one team. So I think he'll probably take the tour, and it's possible, guys, that if he hears what he likes, and it's going to be more of a feel thing with Gerald, he may not leave the building without a contract. You just don't know.
Rick Stroud joining us on the show. You mentioned the diet. Josina Anderson had tweeted out about him being a vegan. How long has he been a vegan?
Just this off season. I mean, just part of his training. I think he wanted, to try something to get his legs back, get his body back. He works out every year with Drew Brees and those guys, with Todd Durkin out in San Diego a lot, and they go pretty hard. And, you know, I think that when you get to this point in your career, I mean, his whole game is his get off, and that's still there. But he just said he wanted to try something different nutritionally. It says the swelling has been reduced in his knees, and, you know, he feels great. So he'll be prepared to play physically. There's no doubt about that. And I think mentally, Gerald will have an edge that he probably hasn't had in a few years.
All right, we're talking to Rick Stroud, someone who knows all about Gerald McCoy. Let me ask you this. Watching him last season, and it was a tumultuous year. Obviously, there was a coaching change after that. Did you see any significant drop-off in his game from somebody who was a pro bowler just a few years ago?
Well, he didn't have a great year by his standards, but I think some of it was what they were asking him to do. You know, they put him on one side of the center, and they left him there, and it wasn't even the side that he normally thrives at. But, you know, Gerald has had the 13 different defensive line coaches, about five or six defensive coordinators, and was going on to his fifth head coach. So when you have that much change, you know, he tries to do what the position they put him in. I would just say, you know, he led the team with 21 quarterback hits, and he had six sacks, which he's done the last 2 years, which isn't a big number. But he's capable of doing a lot more. And if you just look at sort of who he's played with, I mean, you know, there are no Pro Bowlers that are walking around here. I know Jason Pierre-Paul had a big year last year with the 12.5 sacks. That's probably the best guy outside of Michael Bennett in his early years that he played with. And as far as interior linemen, there just hasn't been anybody. Vita Vea was a rookie last year. He missed 7 weeks through training camp and part of the regular season, and really didn't play well to the last few weeks. So, I mean, Gerald has had constant change, very, very little help on the defensive line. And, you know, I think he's capable of doing more, but it wasn't a year that was up to his standard. But, you know, that said, there's a lot of variables with that, too.
You know, we always ask questions about why certain teams do what they do. in terms of getting rid of top-tiered or pretty good talent. That happened, obviously, with the Giants, and the Browns are beneficiaries of that with Odell Beckham. But why, then, is it just a salary number? Is it just a savings thing from an ownership group that they would say, all right, you know, $13 million? Is it they want to develop younger guys? And what did Bruce Arians have to say about this?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, they were up against the cap. They had no room even to sign their number one draft pick, Devin White. So they had to do something. You know, the $13 million, I think most would agree, you know, when you get to this age, you know, the reason none of that is guaranteed is I don't think teams expect you to actually, you know, earn that year. And, you know, it came down to Gerald gave them a binary choice. He said, you know, if I'm going to stay in Tampa, you're going to pay me the $13 million. That's the deal that we signed. If I'm going to take a pay cut, I want to go, you know, and have a chance to look around and get with a team that's ready to win right away. And I think, you know, the Bucs are coming in here with Todd Bowles. They're moving to a 3-4 defense. He could play in it. I mean, they did it with Darnell Dockett in Arizona. You still have plenty of opportunities to, you know, to play the three technique, and especially in, you know, when they go to nickel and stuff like that. But, you know, all those things being the same, and he just didn't give them really an opportunity. And I don't know, to be honest with you guys, there's always, look, new coaching staffs evaluate guys differently. Todd Bowles knows what he wants in his defense. You know, I think the money was the first thing for sure. And then, you know, once they realized they couldn't get him back, they had to do something, then they went and got the next best guy. But Ndamukong Suh's been out there since really the end of last season, and I haven't seen any teams associated with him. And now you have 10 teams that I'm told have contacted Ben Dogra about Gerald. So he's got a market, and he can make a lot of money, but the money isn't the biggest thing for him. He really does want a good fit, and he really does want to go somewhere where he feels like they have a chance to win right away.
Rick Stroud joining us on the show. What could be some of the, obviously the age, and there's a question of whether or not the money was worth, things like that. What are some of the things that might take away from signing a guy like Gerald McCoy? Like, maybe what are some of the concerns on the field that maybe you have heard over the time that he was in Tampa Bay?
On the field, I haven't heard much. You know, to be honest with you,
Is there any downside to it at all?
You can talk to Todd Monken, you can talk to Dirk Cutter. I mean, these guys that coached him, that, you know, that were with him, they all want him now. So if there was something on the field that they saw, you know, he doesn't take plays off. I mean, if anything, he's an older athlete. I mean, I think what happens, you know, when you play as many snaps as Gerald has and you have a bad defensive line, you can't hide a bad defensive line. Mm-hmm. So those guys are on the field, and if it's, you know, three plays and a first down, three more plays and a first down, they get worn out pretty good. And by the fourth quarter, you know, if his game is get off and trying to rush the passer and you never have a lead, all those things come into play. So, you know, I think that in an ideal world, he would play with a team that has a little depth at the defensive line where they could keep him fresh, you know, not have to play quite as many snaps, but certainly he's going to be in there on most of them. And you want him fresh for the fourth quarter. But really, I guess if there's a negative, it's just that, you know, he wears down quicker than he used to because he's 31 years old.
Munkin's an offensive guy, but does him being here help Cleveland's case to get Gerald McCoy?
Well, I mean, I think Todd can give them a pretty objective evaluation. I mean, he was in the building with him. He knows mm-hmm. what he means to the locker room. He knows what personality he is. He's a selfless player. He'll integrate fine with most teams, I think. And you know, he's a great community guy. I mean, he's a better person than he is even a player, and that's saying something. He made six Pro Bowls, and you can debate whether that matters. But if you talk to coaches that had to prepare to play the Bucs, everybody had to start with Gerald McCoy. They you know, slid their line towards him his whole career, and, you know, that's sort of what he's been up against. Now, imagine if he were to play with, you know, a good defensive line that had a little depth and you could keep him fresh. I mean, at this point of the year of his career, I think that's what you're looking at. So, look, I expect him to be a good player wherever he goes. I don't know how many more years he can play at this level. A lot of that will depend on how he holds up physically. He's missed a game or two the last few years. But really, I do believe he still has a lot in the tank, and I think guys like Todd Monken and them know that.
Rick Stroud, join us. One more thing for me. Bruce Arians was a guy that was lobbying for the Cleveland Browns job just a season ago, and he said it was the only job he would come out of the broadcast booth for in all the NFL. And then what do you know, the Browns didn't really even take a look at him. I don't even think he interviewed with the Cleveland Browns. Browns hired Freddie Kitchens and said someone who knows very well, intimately, all about Bruce Arians. How big of a surprise was that at 66 for him to come out of retirement and coach your team?
Not a surprise if you know the dynamics of what happened here. You know, Jason Light worked with him in Arizona as his VP, I think, of player personnel. And those two guys are very close. And they have Jameis Winston. And he's known Jameis since middle school when he went to his camp or his son's camp in Birmingham. They've competed against each other. They had the quarterback. They had the general manager he wanted. And he was able to hire all his coaches. When I say all of them, they got 30 coaches on their staff, if you can believe that. It's one of the largest. It is the largest in the NFL. So Bowles was available. All these guys were available. So it all added up. That, and, you know, I'm sure what they're paying him isn't bad. And you know, look, he's not going to call the offense. He's not going to do game planning. He'll be part of that, but he's going to let Byron Leftwich do that and Clyde Christensen. And he's going to be more of a CEO coach, if you will, but he'll be on the headset and make the calls he needs to make. So I think that he basically got everything he wanted to come out of retirement for.
Rick, we thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours, friend.
Good luck, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Rick Stroud joining us on the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.